Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nikolai by Michelle Notaro, narrated by Kurt Graves. Prologue. Nikolai. The force of magic hit my chest and sent me flying through the air until I landed in a heap on the ground. The dark magic pressed in on me, making it difficult to breathe. It pushed further still, and I felt my ribs snap under the pressure and my mouth fill with liquid. Nikolai! I couldn't answer. I was too busy trying to keep myself from dying, but I'd recognize that voice anywhere. He hadn't left. He'd come back to save me. Nikolai, stay with me. My eyes drifted closed as the power snapped another rib. Darren, help me. Nikolai, oh mother, please hold on, my treasure. I'm right here. Darren sounded closer, but still too far away to help. Another rib cracked, then snapped. I tried to suck in a breath, but my lungs wouldn't fill. This was it. I was dying. Nikolai, treasure, Darren said a moment before he shouted a spell and the pressure on my chest lessened. My lungs tried to fill, but only a trickle of oxygen was able to wheeze past my broken ribs. I coughed and felt blood pour from my mouth. The dark magic was gone, but it had left me dying. Look at me, Nikolai. Open your eyes. I tried to follow orders, but my eyelids were heavy. Come back to me, my treasure. Please, 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 please. Nikolai, I need you. Hearing the desperation in his voice made me snap my eyes open, and I found Darren hovering over me. At the sight of my effort, he offered me a sad smile and whispered, I'm going to heal you, my treasure, but it's going to hurt. I'm right here. I'm not leaving your side. I couldn't answer. I couldn't nod. I simply stared up at him. He cupped my cheek and leaned down to press his forehead to mine before he whispered, Get ready, my love. And a surge of his power pushed into my body so forcefully that I screamed, my veins on fire, and then I only knew darkness. Grayson. Landing flat on my back with a huge oomph knocked the wind out of me, but I didn't have time to assess my newest injuries because the damn kobold made a jump at me. I rolled to my right and up to my feet, lifting my sword at the little asshole.
Can't believe you got knocked flat on your back before I did, Narius said with a smirk.
I knocked the kobold back with my sword and yelled back, Shut it, Nair. He laughed, but refocused on the onslaught of little beasties attacking us. When we'd been called out on this mission, I didn't think any of us had expected to find a herd of kobolds as the culprits. The way the people in the local town spoke about their attackers, I'd been given the impression of something much bigger. Although there was a shit ton of them, so I couldn't imagine an untrained civilian being able to handle an attack, since they loved their little firebolts. As the little fucker jumped at me again, I used my strength to thrust my sword up its belly through its chest. Its eyes went wide as it bled to death. With a wrinkled nose, I used my boot to push it off my sword before turning to the next group of the little devils. And boy, did they look like devils. Red armored skin that was nearly impossible to puncture, for someone not of the Warriors of Tempest, anyway. Red-horned, long red deadly claws, and black eyes. Only they were about 3 feet tall and were not demons like the legends of the devil. Swinging my sword around, I took out another one before twisting and using the butt of my sword to knock one away from my side. Three more rushed me, attacking with claws and fangs. One sliced my forearm, another got my thigh, but I retaliated by chopping off their heads and smiling as they rolled away.
There's another wave of 'em coming, Gray, Narius shouted. We need to regroup. Line up, warriors.
As I took off at a run to form a line with the rest of my 8-man team, I scanned the area to be sure no other kobolds were alive so we weren't attacked from behind as well. Narius grinned at me when I came up beside him, and I shook my head. He always loved a good fight. We'd been on the same team for the last year, though I'd known him for a long time, and he was probably the only person I'd consider a friend. No one else cared for me, and I honestly didn't care for them either. Narius swung his sword around in anticipation of the oncoming wave, shot me a grin, and said,
You know what I like to do after a good fight.
A snort came out of me as I took a defensive position.
I'm sure you can find a little fuck toy in town. Already found one before we came out. You can join in. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Uh-huh. Let's get through this first, I muttered, as at least 100 kobolds came rushing out of the trees.
Jesus, where the hell are they coming from?
No idea, but we're gonna have to check it out. If there's a nest nearby, we can relocate it farther in the forest so they stop terrorizing people.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, Gray.
Narius shot me a glance as we watched the little terrors running at us.
Yeah?
You know, I really like when you...
Oof!
Narius, I shouted as he was flung backward by... nothing. Rushing to help him up, I hit an invisible wall, and when I tried to bang on it, I was thrown back 10 feet. As I stood and rushed for Narius again, I saw the kobolds retreating back into the woods, and when I looked at Narius, I screamed. Something was slashing at him, tearing him to shreds right in front of me, but I couldn't see what was attacking him.
Narius!
I got to my feet and ran after him again, his screams of horror and pain reaching my ears. I held my sword in front of me and charged, hoping to take out whatever invisible monster this was. But something wrapped around my waist and hauled me back as its claws dug through my fucking armor and into my skin. I cried out as I was flung onto my back again. The shouts of my team members made me turn to them as I gasped for breath, and horror filled my bones. They were being attacked by the invisible beasts, too.
No, not again. This can't be happening again.
Narius's voice rang loud in the clearing.
Run! Retreat!
I looked to him. Blood was coming out of his mouth and nose. His clothes and armor were shredded. He was bleeding from everywhere. I could see skin hanging off him. His eyes connected to mine before a deep gash appeared across his face, and he screamed in agony. Getting to my knees, I crawled toward him. The shouts and screams of the other men still filled the air. Before I reached him, I heard a loud hiss fill the air, and something landed on my back. Another scream tore from my chest as my back was shredded. I coughed and gagged on my own blood, the screaming around me growing quieter until all I could think was that the Cyclops' curse was real. Then the darkness called my name.
Delaro.
Yeah, I know, Zig. Mother, you're driving me nuts today. I'm going as fast as I can, I said as I walked down the street carrying bags of notebooks and pencils. People passing me on the sidewalk were giving me a wide berth since it looked like I was talking to myself. I wasn't. My damn Bonded was on my shoulder, but he was hanging out in the ghostly plane, a sort of alternate reality, I guessed. It was almost like an extra layer over top of this realm. Everything in this realm existed in the ghostly plane, but you could sort of pass through things, and everything in the ghostly plane did not exist here, thank the mother of all. Some of those monsters in there still scared the crap out of me, even after all these years of traveling through it. Zig hissed in my ear, and I winced as he dug his claws into my shoulder. Knock it off, I murmured. He was a pain in my ass. A human woman stared at me with wide eyes, then stepped off the sidewalk to walk around me. I rolled my eyes at her and shook my head, then used my link with my bonded one to say in my head, "Dude, everyone already thinks I'm crazy. Chill out." Since Zig couldn't converse in the same sense that witches did, he didn't speak in my head so much as push images, feelings, and intentions into me to communicate. I thought he simply wanted me to get to my car faster, but when he sent me images of a group of ghosts up ahead, I froze on the spot. Shit. I hadn't been paying much attention to what was in front of me because the bags were heavy and Zig kept digging his claws into me. Nothing new. My bonded was an asshole. With a glance in the direction of the ghosts, I sighed. Since the Berserker War started and ended, ghosts were everywhere. The problem was that somehow they seemed to know that I could see them and no one else could. Maybe because of my connection with Zig, I didn't know. But it was getting old. These ghosts were spirits of the dead, spirits that were stuck in this realm because they had died tragically or had unfinished business to do. They were what people thought of when they thought of ghosts. In the ghostly plane, there were beings that had never been alive. Or at the very least, they'd never lived on our realm. Only lived in the ghostly one. If that was even the correct name for it. The actual ghosts from the war seemed to travel between this realm and the ghostly one, although many were stuck here. Sometimes I didn't even realize they were ghosts until I took a closer look, because the stronger spirits appeared more solidly. Unfortunately, I had no way of helping them. I tried. Many times. I'd done a ton of research, but no matter what I did, I couldn't help them pass over. I simply wasn't strong enough. But they didn't care what I could or couldn't do. They only cared that I was a beacon for them, that they thought I could help. I turned on my heel to run the other way, but a loud screech sounded behind me, and I knew I'd been spotted. Shit. I took off as fast as I could, grabbing hold of my bags tightly and running past people on the sidewalk. There were yells called out behind me about how rude I was, but I didn't care. If I got caught up with that large a group of ghosts, I'd be stuck here all day, and I'd have an angry mob of ghosts on my hands when they realized I couldn't help them. The last thing I needed was for a bunch of them to turn into poltergeists and try hurting me or anyone else around us. Zig hissed and dug his claws into my skin so he wouldn't fall off, and even though it hurt, I was glad as hell that he'd stuck around instead of running away through the ghostly plane without me. Sometimes his presence was enough to scare off ghosts. I wasn't sure why ghosts were scared of him, but maybe he was just that much of an asshole. Wouldn't surprise me. But it wasn't working this time. A ghost popped up in front of me, coming out of an alley and making me yell out in surprise. People scattered away from me as I conjured a shield around Zig and myself. The ghost turned angry eyes in my direction and began banging on my shield. It only took a moment for me to see what had killed him. His clothes were singed and torn up, and he had a giant hole in his side, revealing broken ribs and burned skin. Holding my breath, I turned away so I didn't vomit from the sight. The ghosts that were chasing me caught up and began banging on my shield as well. They were all covered in blood, bruises, open wounds, and burn marks, so I closed my eyes against the horrible display. Fuck, Zig, what are we going to do? I squatted down, set my bags on either side of me, and put my head between my legs with my arms over them. Zig was hissing at them and swiping his paws in their direction, but that didn't seem to deter them. All I could do was wait it out and pray they lost interest before my shield dropped. The noise from the ghosts cut off all at once, the silence left behind somehow more deafening, so I looked up. The ghosts had their backs to me, but slowly began sidestepping my shield and backing away from some unseen foe. I whispered, "Zig," and he understood what I wanted. So I quickly grabbed all my bags in one hand. My bonded let me hold onto his back as he pulled me into the ghostly plane, and I stood up with him. Everything, the people, the buildings, seemed to have a cloud over it. The colors were duller, the air a little cold and damp. Things were a little blurry, as if you were staring through a foggy window. But one thing stood out as I scanned the area. A man in black stood about 20 feet away, his face hidden with a large rimmed black hat, his form shrouded in something like a trench coat. The man took a step toward me, and by the jerky way he moved, I realized he wasn't a man at all, although I had no idea what kind of creature he was. "Hello," I called out. "We're just passing through. Sorry to disturb you." The creature made a strange trilling sound that reminded me of an insect, or maybe one of those alien movies that humans made. "What the fuck is this thing?" His twitching and jerking moved him closer and closer to Zig and me, and when he was about 10 feet away, I could feel his oily, thick, oppressive magic brush against my skin, and I knew we needed to get the fuck out of there. Zig seemed to be of the same mind because he tried to pull me away from the creature, but just as he did, the creature's thick magic wrapped around me, holding me in place. I was frozen to the spot, unable to move my feet. My bonded hissed and yowled at the creature, but it hardly seemed to notice him, its black eyes never leaving my face, staring into my soul. Its magic squeezed even tighter, slowly wrapping around my throat as real,
deep fear settled into my bones. It moved closer until its ugly gray face with skin that looked like it was melting was only inches from my nose. Its head cocked to the side, examining me as it tightened its magic around my throat, cutting off my airway. A sharp pain pierced my stomach as the thing dug its claws into my skin. A gurgling sound fell from my lips as a metallic taste filled my mouth, and I tried to get some oxygen in my lungs. It moved even closer, tilting its head in the other direction as its claws dug even deeper, my shirt soaking wet with blood. The sharp agony burned my insides, and I began trembling from the fierceness of the pain. Mother of all, please let me get through this. I needed to keep my head on straight, or I'd never make it out of here alive. In desperation, I closed my eyes and pulled my magic inside myself enough to use a little wind spell. Pushing the wind along my arm bracer, it loosened one of my vials I had stored there until the vial fell into my palm. On a wheezing breath, I dropped the vial at the feet of the creature, praying it was hard enough to break it open. Luck was on my side. The vial broke, and large, silver flames, the color of my magic, burst between the creature and me. A screech filled the air as the creature released me and backed away from the flames, the bottom of its coat already on fire. The fire didn't harm me, thanks to one of the many of my tattooed runes on my skin, so I stayed where I was and took a much-needed breath, my throat screaming nearly as badly as my stomach. Zig didn't waste any time. He twisted his little body around my ankle. The fire didn't bother him either, since he was drawing on my magic to keep it at bay. Then he pulled me forward. The way Zig traveled in the ghostly plane was different than in the human one. It almost felt like he moved at super speed, and since he could move through anything, living or non-living, he traveled in straight lines. Needing to get out of the ghostly plane as fast as possible, he flung me forward so quickly I almost lost my lunch, then popped us out right beside my SUV. I'd never been so happy to see my car in my life. As I tried to take a step forward, I fell into the side of my car, my shoulder hitting it before I slid down onto my ass. Zig started meowing and mewling in concern, and I finally took a look at my stomach. My shirt was soaked red and ripped apart. Shit, I breathed out, before reaching into my boot and trying to dig out a healing spell. My fingers didn't seem to be working very well, and Zig's cries of worry grew louder and louder. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, I managed to get a hold of the stone I needed, so I pulled up my shirt and laid the stone over the still bleeding wounds. Then I covered the stone with my hand and muttered, "Igathi hisig oidian rutha." The stone grew hot, and I sucked in a breath as I felt the release of power flow through my injury and begin to knit the skin and muscles back together. With that done, I closed my eyes and took a deep breath, although my throat hurt with every intake. Zig's meow in my face startled me, and I realized I'd fallen asleep because he was now on my chest, nosing my cheek. I reached up and tried to rest my hand on his fur, but my arm was too weak to move much. Shit. I must have lost a lot more blood than I realized. He meowed in my face again, and I knew he was yelling at me to call someone to come pick me up. My body was hardly working, so Zig nosed my pocket that held my cell phone, and I felt a tiny pull on my magic. Since I knew it was him, I didn't fight it as he used my magic to yank my phone out. Zig seemed more capable of using my magic than some of my family's bonded did, but I definitely wasn't complaining. "Thanks, buddy," I murmured, then coughed from trying to speak. With my fumbling fingers, I managed to pull up Aelin's name, my father, though not by blood, and I threw it on speaker while it rang so I wouldn't have to hold the phone up. Only it went straight to voicemail. So I tried Sebastian next. He was Aelin's partner. His also went to voicemail. Sighing, I tried my little sister Clover, but she didn't answer, so I tried my little brother Tjordan. When he didn't answer either, Zig let out an angry, growling hiss, and I couldn't agree more with the sentiment. It wasn't unusual for me to spend my time alone, but I still expected someone in my family to be there when I needed them. Since there was nothing to do about it, I remained on the ground,
leaning against a tire for a while before I managed to pull myself into the driver's seat, where I took a nap and waited for someone to call me back. By the time I woke, darkness had fallen, and since no one called me back, I decided to drive home, although I probably shouldn't have been driving. Somehow I made it home, and with Zig's help, he pulled me up to my bedroom where I fell on my bed and passed out, my family none the wiser. If they couldn't be bothered to call me back when I was half bled out, then I guessed there was no point in telling any of them about the monster in the ghostly plane. Whatever. I deal with it like I dealt with everything else. Alone. Chapter 1. Nikolai. "Here you are, hot stuff," I said, placing a mug of beer in front of the sexy vampire on the other side of the bar. He grinned at me and leaned over, running a finger along the buttons of my dress shirt. "Thank you, Nikolai." I gently grabbed his wrist, rubbing his skin so he didn't take my rejection too hard. "Your friend's waiting for you, handsome. I'll be right here watching you." His eyes darkened, his lust reacting to my natural aura as he said, "You could join us." "I'm still working, baby. Maybe next time." I tried to tone down my aura, shielding it with my magic, but I knew it was still affecting the vampire. Some creatures seemed to react more harshly than others if I took away their plaything, also known as me. I shot Gray a look at the end of the bar, and he caught it, immediately coming over to step between the vampire and myself. Sometimes all I needed was someone blocking the view to get a customer to walk away, and Gray always seemed happy to help me out. Plus, he was tall, muscular, sporting Warrior of Tempest tattoos, and could give a wicked glare when needed. He was the perfect guard in these situations, and a bonus was getting to stare at that delicious tush of his while he took care of things. I was Fae, from the land of Fela. My twin brother Talon and I came over to the human realm centuries ago, and once we were here, we decided to stay. My magic ran through my bones, through my cells, and it seeped out, affecting most supernaturals and humans alike. I could shield it if I concentrated, but I often didn't want to. Sometimes I liked the attention of other creatures' desires for me, and other times I despised it. It was a natural reaction to being in close quarters to me, to feel lust-crazed, horny, and desperate for me, so it was nearly impossible for me to tell when a person truly wanted me. And it wasn't easy for people to get to know me when all they could think about was fucking my brains out every second they were with me. The bar was still in full force, but I was ready to retire for the night. The energy I gathered from my patrons was exactly what I needed to keep my magic fresh and strong, but I often found myself bored of the strangers in my domain and wanting to go to my quarters to spend my time with my lovers instead. Truth be told, I really wanted to spend my time with only one of them, Grayson. I'd met Gray by chance a few months ago when his troop was passing through, and when it came time for him to leave me, I hadn't been able to say goodbye. Gray had wanted out of his obligation. He'd told me as much one night in bed, but he had 5 years left on his contract, so I'd gone to his commander and paid it off. The tricky part of dealing with the Warriors of Tempest was that they only sold their soldiers to the highest bidder. I'd bartered for his contract, paid a pretty penny for him, then I set him free, so to speak. What his commander hadn't known was that I would have paid everything I had for him, or taken him by force if necessary. I'd ripped up that contract and cut his magical binds that the warriors never told him about, and handed it over to him. Before that, I didn't think he'd truly realized how bad the Warriors of Tempest were with controlling their soldiers. They weren't soldiers at all. They were slaves, even if they never used that term. Now I wanted him to wake up every morning and choose to stay here, to choose me. Unfortunately, Gray felt like he had to pay me back for his freedom, and he had no idea just how much I'd paid, so I'd spent a lot of time trying to convince him he didn't. I'd felt a pull toward Gray I couldn't explain since the moment I laid eyes on him, and as long as he would have me, there was no way I'd be giving him up any time soon. As I walked over to him, I sent him a smile and asked, "You ready to turn in for the night?" "If that's what you want," he responded as he took my offered hand. I sighed. I hated when he left decisions to me instead of taking them for himself. but I supposed it was a hard habit to break. He'd been with the Warriors of Tempest since he was a young child, so he'd been following orders for nearly his entire life. I squeezed his hand and said, "Let's turn in, Mezali." He smiled at the endearment, even though he still hadn't asked me what it meant, and I hadn't offered up the translation either. Kissing the back of my hand, Gray said, "Lead the way, Nick." We walked into the back storage where the alcohol and snacks were kept, and I pulled him through the wall. The wall was more like a door in disguise, and it felt like you were walking through jello. This particular wall would only open for those invited or for any of my lovers that lived with me. No one else would be able to pass through my wards, or at least most wouldn't. There were only a handful of individuals that would be capable of breaking through my wards. We walked down the long tunnel that led to my quarters, but halfway there I stopped. My sudden movement made Gray bump into my back and mutter, "What's wrong?" "Nothing's wrong, darling. I was simply thinking that maybe you and I should go out somewhere." He turned me around to search my eyes with a furrowed brow. "You don't want to go home?" I couldn't blame him for the question. Since I'd brought him into my home, I'd spent nearly every night in my quarters, only going out to visit with my other family that lived beyond these walls. I shook my head. It wasn't that I didn't want to go home. I did. But I didn't want to share Gray with anyone else tonight. I'd never been this way with any of my lovers before, but there were nights when I wanted Gray to myself, where I felt needy and wanted him to hold me all night long. Actually, I always wanted him to hold me, but I was feeling out of sorts and I needed time with him tonight. With only him. If we went home, my other lovers would be there, and I simply didn't want to deal with them tonight. Since my neediness was making me even more jittery, I stepped into Gray's space and wrapped my arms around his waist, tucking my head under his chin. I wasn't a short man, but since Gray was basically a giant, I fit perfectly there. He made me feel small and fragile, which I was finding I enjoyed. When he wrapped his arms around me, I sighed in relief. This was what I needed. Gray ran his hand over my hair and down my back, caressing me in the sweetest way, and I sank into him further. After several minutes of holding me and playing with my hair, he whispered, "Do you want to sit up on the roof?" I sighed again and nodded against him. "That would be perfect." He kissed the top of my head. "Come on, then. Let's sit under the stars. Maybe we can watch the sunrise together." Nodding again, I reluctantly released him and smiled when he draped his arm over my shoulders and tucked me into his side before we headed to the staircase at the end of the tunnel. There were only two doors at the end of the tunnel, one to our home and the other that led to the roof. Once we made it up, Gray pulled me over to the couch that was covered in blankets and pillows. It was surrounded by four posts, and all around there was fabric wrapped over them, through them, between them. There was a plush carpet, end tables, a long table behind the couch, a big comfy thing that pulled out into a bed if we so desired, and more pillows and blankets than I even knew I'd owned. Last month, Gray had surprised me by setting this up. He'd known I was having a hard time readjusting to life in the club after every visit to the Fey Realm, and he'd wanted to set me up a place where I could relax. He'd even had our witch friends, my family, really, set up wards around the little oasis to ward off weather and keep us safe. It was probably the most thoughtful thing anyone had ever done for me. As we settled on the couch, I scooted as close to Gray as possible, saying, "This is my favorite place. I love it up here." He pressed his nose into my hair, taking a breath, breathing me in. "I'm glad you like it. I love coming up here with you." I leaned back to stare into his eyes. "I only like this place because you always come up here with me, and it's a chance for us to be alone together." Gray stared into my eyes for a long moment before he swallowed and turned his gaze to the ground. I could tell he was fighting some strong emotion, but I furrowed my brow as I tried to get a read on him. He'd been doing this more and more lately, hiding his emotions from me, and I didn't understand why. "You all right, darling?" I rubbed my fingers along the scruff of his jaw.
He took a shaky breath before meeting my eyes and offering a half-smile. I'm good. He turned his head to press a kiss to my palm.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?